I love the return on investment, ROI, the return. When I invest my worship, when I invest my praise, there is a return on that investment, God's blessing and God's goodness and God's strength and God's peace in my life. And you know what? In spite of hurricanes and in spite of biolab leaks and in spite of bad news, I'm going to worship my way through. And I'm going to bless the Lord no matter what. Anybody else, you've already decided you're going to worship? Amen. Because whatever you're going through and whatever you find yourself living in, wherever you may be today, that's where you are. Whatever your reality is, you got to make the most and best of it. And I understand what it is to be living in the middle of challenge and wishing I could be anywhere else, wishing I could feel any other feeling, wishing I could be in any other mental space, but I can't find a way out of it, and so I have to live through it. I have to live through it because this is no time. In fact, there never is a good time to quit. There never is a good time to check out, and there certainly never is a good time to give up. We have to make it. You and I have to survive. You and I have to get to the other side. And there is another side and another side of this storm. There is another side of this challenge and this difficulty in your life. But we know that tough times are a part of life. We've said this before, and it's worthy of repeating. You're either headed into a trial, in the middle of a trial, or you are coming out of a trial. You're going to have to assess where you are, whether you're headed into something, whether you are in the middle of something, or if you see that thing in your rearview mirror. And it may be unanswered prayers. It may be you feeling beaten down by circumstance or challenge. It may be a lost job. It may be a health crisis. It may be a financial challenge. It could be a strained relationship in your life. It could be just the looming darkness of depression. Any one of those things could be the trial that you're in and the circumstance that you are in. But I love 1 Peter 1 and 7. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. In other words, if we can survive what we're in right now, if we can just get through what we're in right now, if we can just handle what it is that we are in right now. There's going to be a lot of glory return. There's going to be a lot of praise return. There's going to be blessing and reward that is returned. But that means we got to survive where we are right now. Because here's the truth. Faith that is tested is faith that can be trusted. I'll say it again. Faith that is tested is faith that can be trusted. So let's talk about tested faith today. Let's talk a moment about tried in the fire faith. Let's talk about impossible situation faith. God pleasing faith. And when I look at the story of Daniel in Daniel chapter 3. We're going to get there in just a moment, but I want to give you just a little background so that you understand what we are about to read, but Daniel's faith, Daniel standing in faith when everyone else was giving up, when everyone else was bowing down, when everyone else was throwing in the towel, the fact that Daniel remained strong, it is an encouragement to me. Because I see myself in the person of Daniel. I see myself in these young men that were standing. Just some background. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. He was a powerful man. He was a strong king. He was a man who exacted leadership and a man who really swung a large and powerful fist. And when he decreed a thing, then everybody was afraid of disobedience. Everyone was afraid of not doing what he commanded them to do. And so when he conquers Judah, he calls for the best and the brightest. He calls for the entrepreneurs. He called for the inventors. He called for those that were smart. He called for those that read well. You and I would call them the influencers of the day. He called for all of all of them to come to where he was. And he said, I know how to move these people. I know how to get these people to do what I want them to do. And one of those young men that he summoned was Daniel. And then there were three of Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys are most likely teenagers. They're just young men. But I want you to notice Nebuchadnezzar's first order of business. His first order of business was to change the worship. His first order of business was to say, you know what, the God that you serve is not the true and living God. I want you to serve my God. I want you to serve the idol. And ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar is saying, I want to be the God. I want to be the one that you worship. I want to be the one that you obey. And I don't want you to miss this, because the playbook for Nebuchadnezzar is still the playbook today. The plan that an evil king had for God's people is still the same plan that the enemy of my soul and yours has for you and I. It's the same question that was asked of Eve in the garden. Did God really say you couldn't eat of this tree? Are you sure that's what? I don't think that's what God said. And then we start questioning and we're not sure. And Nebuchadnezzar is saying, I know who Judah worships. I know the God who's brought them victory after victory. And I finally got my way. I finally got the upper hand. I finally was able to beat them. And so I'm going to force them to reject their God and bow down to my God. So the Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar built an idol, a golden statue. It was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. It's a massive, tall, giant statue. Let me just side note here for a moment this morning. It doesn't matter how big or how shiny or how golden or how powerful the statue appears to be, it's never going to compare to the one true and living God. I don't care how much money they slide across the table. I don't care how bright they promise to put your name in lights. It doesn't matter to me what they guarantee you. I'm telling you, it will never be as great as God is. It'll never be as big as God is. It'll never be as fulfilling as living for the Lord is. Does anybody believe that truth today? And so King Nebuchadnezzar orders every government leader, he wants every advisor, he wants every judge and magistrate, he wants every dignitary to come to the dedication of this idol. 90 feet tall and 9 foot wide. Never anything like it has been built or erected. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I want everybody here to celebrate this moment. And ultimately, I want you to bow down and give your allegiance to this God that I have erected. Daniel 3, verses 4, 5, and 6. Then a herald shouted out, an announcement is made. People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow down to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Just in case we're not clear, just in case the announcement is ambiguous to anyone, no. We're calling you to bow down before this statue. They knew the command. You shall have no other gods before me. They knew what God said. I'm a jealous God, and beside me there is no other. I am He. They had heard Moses say time and time and time again about the God that they worship. Nebuchadnezzar's heard all the stories. He knows all of their history. And so today is decision day. Today is choosing day. I need to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that every day you live is choosing day. Every day you live is decision day, because the enemy's going to present himself in some crafty way. He's going to show himself in some slick way, but he's always got the same goal. He wants you to reject God who saved you and delivered you and worship him who cannot promise you anything but misery, pain, and heartache. But I want somebody to hear me on Sunday that as for me and my house, I choose God again and again. I want somebody to hear me that when I get up tomorrow morning, it's not even going to be a decision about which way I'm going to go. I'm choosing Jesus again. And if you try me Tuesday, I'll choose Jesus on Tuesday. Why? Because my mind is made up. Lord, I feel like preaching in this house today. When you hear the music, you need to bow down. What Nebuchadnezzar said. And then when you look on to verses 12 through 15, I'm not going to take time to read them, but let me just reference them, because they came to Nebuchadnezzar and said, hey, there's some Jews over here. They call one of them Shadrach. They call another one of them Meshach. And then there's this other one named Abednego. They pay no attention to you, King Nebuchadnezzar. They have ignored your decree. When everybody said, you got to do this to be cool, they just turned the other way and said, we ain't trying to be cool. When they said, you got to do this to get along and in the corporate world, they said, no, we're not going to cheat. We're not going to steal. We're not going to cut the line. We're going to stay faithful. They pay no attention to your instructions, King Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, they refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue that you have set up. And Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage, the Bible said. Whoo, the devil is big mad in 2024. He is so mad that there's a few hundred people on Sunday at the church Covington that rolled themselves out of bed and said, you know what? We're going to church. I don't have everything together in my life. I don't have everything perfect in my life. I didn't walk a straight and perfect line all last week, but I know in whom my Redeemer lives. I know where my faith is supposed to be, and I'm going to the house of the I'm going to bring my mess. I'm going to bring my brokenness. I'm going to bring my addiction. I'm going to bring my problem. I'm going into the house of the Lord, and I'm going to refuse to play the devil's game. Refuse. I refuse. Pay no attention to you. And Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and said, you bring me Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is it true, he asked, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the idol statue, the gold statue that I have set up? He said, I'm going to give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the music. But if you refuse, make myself clear, if you refuse, I'm going to throw you into a blazing furnace, and then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? See, I really believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I mean, I'm thankful for them, but this is where this story changed for these three young men. Because it's not as though people of faith had not lost their lives. It's not as though people being persecuted had not seemingly lost the battle. We see it throughout the Bible. But when Nebuchadnezzar put a challenge out, I'm going to throw you into the furnace, and then we will see what God will be able to rescue you. That's when God, Jehovah, said, all right, you done started something now, Nebuchadnezzar. I was willing to let you play your little game. I was willing to let you see who you could get on your side. But now, Neb, you about to find out whose God is the Lord. I don't know if you see it, but everybody else was bowing low, but there were three boys who were standing tall. Everyone else was giving in, but there were some young men. There were some CY students. There were some 14-year-old and some 13-year-old and some 16-year-old and some 19-year-old. There were some young people that were saying, oh no, I'm not giving up. There were some young adults, 25 and 28. There were some 40-year-old couples. There were some people saying, oh no, we are not giving up. I know the world is bowing low, but we will stand tall. You know why? Because faith that is tested is faith that can be trusted. Look at somebody and tell them, this is a test. It's a test. It's a test. I know I'm being pushed. I know I'm being tempted. I know I'm being fought. I know I'm being fussed at, but this is just a test. It's just a test. And since we're being tested, I want to teach you about the test today. I just have a few minutes, and I don't need but just a few minutes to tell you about three qualifications or three qualities of standing in faith. I'm talking about what makes the difference when you stand in faith. You got to know these three things. The first one, faith obeys God instead of following man. You need to know this, because we live in a day and time where everybody is following somebody. We got influencers coming out of our ears telling us, buy this product, try this, do that. PK has told me, if she's told me once, she said, this thing I'm buying off Amazon has 5,000 five-star reviews. And then I send her the article, the news clip that says all them 5,000 five-star reviews were paid to give a five-star review. Nothing is real, ladies and gentlemen. Not until you try it for yourself and find out whether or not it'll clean the gum up off your shoe. Till you find out if it will fix the tangle in your child's hair, until you try it for yourself and find out whether or not faith obeys God instead of following man. Don't miss this. Everyone was bowing, and I'm not judging all those people. I'm just here to tell you about qualities of standing in faith. Because while everyone is bowing, there are three boys who are still standing. And this is a good time to assess my posture. October 2024, this is a good time to assess my posture. Am I bowing or am I standing? Well, Pastor Darrell, I stand real good on Sunday. That worship team helps me stand. But when I get over into Monday and Wednesday and Thursday, I don't know if I'm standing quite as tall. Check your posture. Are you bowing or are you standing? I've come to preach strength to you today that you can stand. You can stand in faith. You can stand no matter what other people are doing around you. I want to stand. Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied. They replied, "Oh Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. We know what you we were clear. We understood what you asked. I know you repeated like we just young and our ears are clogged up and we didn't quite catch what you we understood what you said. We don't need to defend ourselves." I love that they did not feel like they needed to defend themselves. Guess what? You don't have to explain everything to everyone. No need to make a pros and cons list about this. Well, what are the pros to standing with God? Over here, I'm going to make the pros, and over here, what are the cons to not standing? I don't need to make a pros and cons list about this. You know what? I don't need to post on Facebook asking anyone else's opinion. It doesn't matter to me what they think. I know what is right, and I know what is true. In fact, I don't even need to pray about this. Some things you don't even need to pray about. You just know this is the right thing to do because the plan always was and forever will be obedience. I know the truth because I have it right here in the Word. I know what God is calling me to do and asking me to do because I read it right here in plain. The Lord is saying be faithful. The Lord is saying be obedient. The Lord do what I've called you to do and asked you to do, and your life is going to be blessed as a result. But you got to at least consider how easy it would have been to rationalize a different plan. Because these young men, I'm sure everything went through their mind. You know, we could probably fake it. What do you think, Shad? What do you think? Abednego, could we just fake it? Could we just act like we're bowing down but not really worship? Could we just, you know, kind of bend over a little bit and tie our shoe? And it would appease the king and he would say, "Well, that's good enough. We'll count that. Maybe I could go to the party but not really participate. Maybe I could just look over into some of that and you know, but not touch it. Just, you know, I don't know. Maybe I could just kind of fake my way through this. Maybe we could worship this one time and then come to the Lord for forgiveness later. That's got to be an option. Surely he'll understand the pressure that we are under. Surely that'll make sense to him and he'll forgive us." Listen, you can take this to the bank. If you are committed to serving God, the enemy will give you ample opportunities to compromise your commitment. He will give you chance after chance after chance because throughout your spiritual journey, your faith, your obedience is not going to make sense to everyone. Some of you are feeling that pressure right now because your friends are trying to get you to get back off in this again and try that again and come on out with us again. And you're over here saying, no, I've made some commitments. That just doesn't interest me like it used to. That just doesn't satisfy me like it once did. I'd rather be faithful to the Lord. I'd rather just keep making progress in my spiritual walk. And people aren't understanding it. People are never going to understand. You know why? Because faith obeys God instead of following man. Here's number two. Faith believes in spite of what it sees. Faith believes in spite of what it sees. What are you seeing right now? What are you seeing in your life? How bad is it? Maybe it's a diagnosis and it doesn't look good. Maybe it's just financial ruin and you can't see any way out of it and the business is going to have to close or the bankruptcy is going to have to be considered. Maybe you're seeing things that are overwhelming. Maybe it's the depression that's been mentioned in this service, or you're feeling discouraged. You believe that, you see that, you're experiencing that in your life. Look what these men said in Daniel 3 and 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, King. We know what you've threatened. We can hear the flames roaring over there. We know what our fate is. But we're just telling you that our faith believes in spite of what we're seeing. Our faith is believing in spite of the circumstances that our eyes are trying to focus on and trying to see. You see a bad medical report, guess what? God is willing and able to heal. You see a broken relationship, God is willing and able to restore. You see a low bank account, God is willing and able to provide. God is willing and able to do exceedingly and abundantly, but more than we could ever think or ask. That's why my faith believes in spite of what it sees. But what if God doesn't do what I'm believing for him to do? That's where a bunch of you are living today. You're living in number two. You're living in this second point. I believe it's just this unbelief that is raging in my life. I mean, I'm here, aren't I? I'm in church today. I came because I know this is the right thing to do, but my unbelief, it just sits on my shoulder, that doubt, that discouragement, that struggle. It's just loud in my ear at all times, and I'm struggling because all I see are the problems. All I see is the struggle. All I see is the difficulty. So what if God doesn't do what I'm believing for him to do? That leads us to the third quality of standing in faith, of standing in the fire. Here's the third one. Faithful obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's responsibility. Me being obedient, that's what God's asked me to do. That's what I am responsible for. But see, you and I, we want to take responsibility for the outcome. We want to take responsibility for the end result. And God said, no, I don't need you to do that. I need you to be faithful. I need you to be obedient to my word. And you can bet I am wanting to work for you. I'm wanting to reward you. I'm wanting to see you through. I'm wanting to make you victorious. So let me handle the outcome. You handle the obedience and allow me to handle the outcome. I know this is easier said than done. I know this is easier to preach than it is to practice. And guess what? No one ever said that faith is easy, but faith is right. No one ever said that life living for the Lord is just gonna be a tiptoe through tulips. No, there's a lot of thorns on that path, a lot of potholes on that path. A lot of roots and stumbling places and obstacles and challenges. Nobody ever said faith was easy. We just know it's right. It's right. And that's what they said in verse 18. But even if he doesn't, we know verse 17 that God is able to save us. He will rescue us, your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Doesn't matter what you threaten. Doesn't matter what you guarantee is going to happen to us if we don't do what you tell us to do, we will never bow. I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of you have not gotten to this place in your faith yet. I'm not judging you. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not ostracizing you. And every time I preach like this, the devil tries to say, oh, you think you big on Sunday? Let me come see you on Tuesday. Every time I preach like this, there's going to be some kind of challenge. There's going to be some kind of difficulty. There's going to be some kind of temptation. There's going to be something happened in the next 7 days that are going to remind me of the big talk I preached on Sunday. But here, hear me loud and clear, devil. It doesn't matter what you throw at me. I am going to stand. Some of you aren't there yet, and I'm going to keep praying, and we're going to keep growing, and we're going to keep believing God. But hear me, when you get there, it changes the game, because the devil all of a sudden knows, wait a minute, I can't get her. I've thrown cancer at Deborah. I've thrown death at Deborah. I've thrown all kind of, but she keeps coming to the second row. I've thrown all kind of stuff at them, but they stay faithful. Because they said they will not bow. They will not bow. So even if God does not, we will never serve your gods nor worship the gold statue that you have set up. Because what we're going to do, we're going to do what's right before God. And we are going to trust him with the results. We are going to do what's right before God and trust him with the results. Because you know what happens? You're no longer doing this for outcome. You're doing this because it is what is right to do. That's a switch. That's a switch. Because there's a lot of people that do what they do for the outcome. Oh no, I pay my tithe, because if I don't, I come to church because if I don't, no, I'm going to do what's right, and I'm not going to worry about outcome. The outcome is not what's important. Doing what's right is the reward. Doing what's right is its own satisfaction, folks. Taking confidence in saying, you know what? I don't like circumstance right now. I don't like where I am. I don't like what I'm having to live through right now, but I know I've stayed faithful. And that is its own reward. I've stayed faithful. And God's law is that he will always bless faithfulness. See, it's easy. It's easier for us because we know their outcome. We've read the story. Come on, Shadrach, Meshach, y'all stay with this, man. It's good. It's good. Just hold tight, guys, because we've already read the end of the story. But they had no idea what was going to happen. They didn't know. They're standing there in front of this furnace. That Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar turned the heat up 7 times hotter. He had already threatened death. Fire is fire. I mean, just a little bit. You can't hold your finger under the flame. All you young people, go try that today and tell me how long you last. But you and I know the outcome. They had no idea what would happen. They just knew it was the right thing to do. Lord, how is my posture today? Am I bowing or am I standing? Am I obedient? Am I trusting you with the outcome? How's my posture today? And so Nebuchadnezzar turned the furnace up 7 times hotter. He ordered the strongest soldiers to tie up the 3 Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The soldiers tied them up. pushed them, drugged them, got them to the entrance. And the Bible said they threw those soldiers, threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, and they, the soldiers, themselves died because of the heat. It was so hot that the strongest soldiers in Nebuchadnezzar's army died just because of the heat coming off of the fire. Have you read your Bible, ladies and gentlemen? This is in it. And yet, these three boys stayed faithful. They did what was right. And look at the outcome. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, wait a minute, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I just nearly feel like running around this building. You see, God reveals his power in many places. But you'll know his presence best when you're in the fire. When you're in the fire. Where am I? Where am I? You're in the struggle. Where am I? You're in a fight. Where am I? You're in a mess. Where am I? You're in the fire. You're here. You're in it. You're in the middle of it. What about those boys? What was the outcome? Go to verse 27. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. I'm telling you about young men that did not bend and did not bow, and God did not allow it to burn them. I'm telling you about people who came through a hard time, but you couldn't even tell they had been through a hard time. I had no idea you went through. I had no idea you had that kind of week last week. I know, because I didn't go through it alone. There was a fourth man in the fire with me. I got one more verse, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, whose 90-foot tall golden statue is this anyway? I don't know anything about it. Praise be to the God of these three men who sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. You do what's right and let God take care of the outcome. You stay faithful and let God worry about the results. Everybody else is cheating, you stay true. I saw on the news the other day, a train stopped, and some thieves, looked like young men, young women, got up. I don't know how they knew what was in the boxcar, but apparently there were large TVs in the boxcar. While the train was stopped, doing whatever trains do when they stop, they opened up the doors and started pulling TVs and large boxes. And the longer the news clip went on, several minutes, there were cars just pulling over, just grabbing TVs and putting them into their vehicles. And I'm thinking, is there not one person that would say, hey, this is not right. Hey, I don't have a TV that big, but I got a few dollars saved, and I'm going to keep saving my money until I can buy a TV. I see that big 75-inch HD TV, but I'm over here with this 35-inch. I'm just going to, do they even have a 35-inch? 32-inch. I'm over here with this iPad. That's all I got. I'm watching on my watch. That's all I got. But I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to stay faithful. And I'm going to let God worry about the outcome. Who am I preaching to today? You're here. You're in the fire. You're in the fire, but you're not in the fire alone. You're in the struggle, but you're not struggling alone. You're in the fight, but you are not fighting alone. God is with you. Father, I pray today for people in this house, people who are in the fight, people who are in the struggle, people who are in a mess, people who are challenged, and people who feel the pain of difficulty and struggle in their life. God, we are not alone. We are not alone. We are obedient. We're in your presence today. We don't like everything that's happening in our lives. We don't like everything that has befallen us. We don't like all of the circumstances that we are dealing with or facing right now. But Lord, we are faithful. We're going to focus on obedience. We're going to let you focus on outcome. In Jesus' name. Some of you with your eyes closed right now and just in a posture of worship, you ought to just look around in the Spirit. You ought to just look around in your own heart, in your own imagination, and in your own, just your spiritual eyes, because you're going to find out it's not just you and them babies in the fire. It's not just you struggling. There's someone in the fire with you. There's someone walking into the bank with you. There's someone going to that interview with you. There's someone sitting across that desk who's with you. You're not outnumbered today. God is on your side. God is with you. In Jesus' name.